Good evening, everyone. I'm Lynn Ormudu. Welcome to Health Chat. It's good to be back. Well, get this. Tens of thousands of people around the world are killed by snake bites each year, and hundreds of thousands get sick or become disabled due to the bites of snakes. The World Health Organization says about 500,000 people in Africa need treatment for venomous snake bites each year. What should you do if you are bitten by a snake? What are the treatments available, and how can you protect yourself from snake bites? We will discuss these and more on the program today. And joining us via phone from Pretoria, South Africa, is Johan Marais, founder of the African Snake Bite Institute. Mr. Marais has devoted most of his life to his favorite hobby, reptiles. Johan Marais, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Nice to be talking to you again.
I just can't fathom the fact that your favorite hobby is reptile.
I mean. Yeah, they're really interesting. And the nice part about the hobby is that we still make new discoveries every day. There's a great deal we still need to learn about reptiles.
Wow. Okay. I guess it's going to take me a long way to get where you are in terms of even accepting them. But we today are going to look at the issues around snake bites. And it's so much of a problem on the continent. So we will discuss snake bites today on the program and in a moment. But first, in Kenya, snake bites kill at least 700 people a year. So local researchers are working to make effective treatment available at much lower costs to save lives. It is dangerous work handling large snakes armed with fangs and deadly poison, but extracting and processing that poison can save lives. VOA's Jim Randall narrates the story.
Beth Mwendi mourns the loss of her 3-year-old daughter, Mercy. The girl was bitten by a deadly snake in their hut. Snake bites kill around 700 Kenyans every year.
She was bitten at night. Around 3 a.m., the child started crying and vomiting. I did not know that it was a snake, so I woke up the next morning and went to the river to fetch water. And on my way back, I met my eldest daughter, who told me my child is not waking up.
Kenya's Snake Bite Research and Intervention Center in Nairobi is working on East Africa's first anti-venom antidote. It hopes the product will be ready for market within 5 years and at a much lower cost than imported anti-venoms.
The snake we're about to extract venom from, we call it African puff adder. This is the most common snake we come across in Africa, and also it seems to bite many people because they tend to hide so well, camouflage with the leaves or dry plants.
Researchers study the extracted venom before injecting small amounts into donor animals like sheep.
So normally they
the animals produce antibodies, which are harvested and purified into the antidote. There are currently two effective anti-venoms available in Kenya from India and Mexico. There are many dangerous snakes at the Kenya Snake Bite Research and Intervention Center. The puff adder is of special interest. Its wide distribution and aggressive nature mean it is responsible for more bites and deaths than any other African snake. Jim Randall, VOA News.
John Marais, you heard this report. First of all, talk to us about some of the very dangerous snakes that are commonly found in Africa or maybe even around the world. I mean, of course, there are many, many types of snakes, but just a couple of them that are kind of well known.
Yes, I think as far as Africa goes, the biggest problem, in fact, is a small snake in North Africa, especially in the Sahel district, which we call a carpet viper. It's a small snake. It has it's very abundant. It has a very potent venom that causes massive bleeding. And, you know, you just heard about 700 people dying in Kenya every year. In the Sahel district, we have close on 20,000 deaths every year from snake bites.
Wow, okay.
So that's sort of the biggest problem. As you go further south into southern Africa, We have a lot of problems with black mambas. Mm-hmm. Of course, puffers are widespread, but because their venom is very slow in acting, they don't cause that many deaths because most patients usually have time to get to medical care. But the carpet viper is an enormous problem. And yes, the problems we have in Africa, first of all, that anti-venoms are extremely expensive. But the bigger problem, of course, is that we don't always have medical facilities. So you go into the poorer areas of Africa, you don't have hospitals and clinics that can deal with snake bite. Mm-hmm. So people go to traditional healers, and unfortunately, that doesn't help.
Okay.
So we see a lot of fatalities and a lot of morbidity. We see a lot of people having hands and feet amputated.
And you are giving us already a scope of what the problems are. And it's such an important issue to discuss. And I definitely want us to go a little more in depth with regards to these issues. So when we look at the problem of snake bites, you kind of touch on it already. How much of a problem is it? Could we describe it as a big public health issue, or is it limited to, in Africa, maybe the rural area or something like that?
Yeah, it's largely the rural areas, but I mean, the World Health Organization has recently admitted that snake bite is a neglected tropical disease in Africa. And when you have, you know, as many, over 100,000 or more people affected by snake bite every year, and with close on 20,000 deaths, it's a massive problem. Mm-hmm. And it's something that needs to be addressed. So the World Health Organization is now, their target is to reduce the death by 50% in the next 5 years. And what we need is we need cheaper anti-venom, and we need anti-venom to be made more available, made more affordable, where hospitals and clinics can keep it. And then a very big issue is you need to train medical doctors in how to treat snake bites. It's a very difficult form of envenomation to treat. It's not every doctor that knows how to cope with all patients.
Yeah. So, I mean, you talked about traditional healers earlier. When I know that in some rural areas and some people are confronted with snakes and they have their old ways of addressing snake bites, what would you say are the best steps to take when someone is bitten by a snake?
You know, that's a very tough question to answer, because if you're in a country where you can't get the right medical help, there's very little that can be done for you. So in South Africa, where I'm from, our recommendation is that any snake bite, you get the victim to the nearest hospital. That is critically important, and we see very good results with treatments. We recently looked at a survey of nearly 1,000 bites over 5 years in northern Zululand. People that ended up in hospital, and in that period of time, about 11% of them were treated with anti-venom, and none of them died. There wasn't a single fatality in those 5 years because of good medical care.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So when, let's say someone is walking through the woods and gets bitten, how do you know if it's a snake bite or maybe a scorpion or something like that? How do you identify a snake bite?
Yes, again, there's no way of telling, and this is a problem. So we always recommend you get to the closest medical facility, and there they can assess it. And, you know, when we see patients in the hospitals that need treatment for snake bite, in the majority of cases, they have no idea what snake it was. But it doesn't matter, because if the doctors are trained up, they can look at the symptoms, and they know how to treat the patient.
So if someone is bitten by the snake, how much time does the person have, how much leeway, if you will, before it becomes fatal? Because understanding that perhaps the venom will travel from the foot to the heart,
yes,
or whatever,
yes,
it goes.
Yes. So in the majority of snake bites, the vast majority of snake bites, you have a few hours. But in certain cases, like black mamba bites, some of the cobra bites, patients, the victims can die within an hour or two or three in severe cases.
Wow.
So the recommendation is always get to a medical facility as quickly as possible.
Okay. Now, I wanted you to dispel, I don't know if it's a myth or if it's something that is effective, but There is this belief that when you are bitten by a snake, you have to tie whatever that area is. Let's say, for example, you were bitten on your leg. You have to tie it above the leg so that the venom doesn't travel. How much of true is this?
That's what we call arterial tourniquets, where you're actually cutting off blood circulation.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, in the vast majority of snake bites, they do not help at all and actually do a great deal of damage. Because if you put an arterial tourniquet tightly around the upper arm or upper leg, and you leave it on long enough, even more than an hour and a half, the patient can lose that arm or leg.
Oh.
So it's not a good idea to do it at all, but it's very popular in Africa. People
yes.
should not do that. And if you're bitten by a snake like a puff adder or one of the carpet vipers where you're going to have a lot of swelling and bleeding, you're going to do far more damage than good. But people should not do that. Just the less you do and the sooner you get the victim to the hospital, mm-hmm. the better.
What about if there's no health facilities? I know you touched on it, but, you know, people go to the farm. People live in the farm. They go to the farm. Their entire lives are in the farm. What do they do?
You know, the bottom line is that if you have a severe snake bite very far away from medical facilities,
yes,
it's pretty much like someone having a heart attack.
Okay.
What do you do far away from medical facilities if someone has a heart attack? There's nothing you can do.
Okay.
And that's the harsh reality. It's a major, major problem.
Unfortunately. So,
yes.
So when there is a snake bite, is it very important to know what kind of snake is the culprit? I mean, when a snake bites, I suppose they run away. So, how would you know? I mean, is it an information that you need to tell the doctor? This a black mamba, you know, was the snake that, you know what I mean? Like,
it
doesn't matter.
The problem with that is that the majority of people who identify a snake and tell the doctor don't have good snake knowledge anyway. So doctors are reluctant to believe patients, but they can see from the symptoms roughly what happens. So in Africa, it's usually one of three things that happen. Either the patient has a lot of pain and swelling, spinning cobra and puff adder bites. They have a lot of bleeding from the carpet vipers. Or in black mamba bites specifically, they become weak very quickly and they battle to breathe.
Mm.
So from the symptoms, the doctors can work out roughly what sort of snake did the bite and they can treat that accordingly.
Okay. So now, how did you, Mr. John Myra, become interested in snakes? I'm very curious.
I saw snakes being killed at a very young age when I was 5, 6 years old.
Oh.
And I caught one or two of them and I started reading up more about them. So it started as a very young child. And my first book I've written about 14 books on snakes. My first book I wrote when I was in my early 20s.
Wow. Talking about what?
So that was a book about common snakes of Southern Africa with advice on first aid treatment, what people should do if they get bitten.
Oh, that's very important. So first aid treatment, I guess this was a bit of the question I was asking, what to do or even not to do.
Yes.
Yeah. So how much have you learned throughout your journey with dealing with snakes? One thing that I know as an African myself, a lot of times people hear snakes, they run away. You know, you rarely find someone like you who goes toward the snake. So what should we know? What are some of the myths and maybe that you would like to debunk about snakes?
You know, the problem in Africa is every country that you go to, every culture has different myths and different beliefs. It makes it very, very complicated. But I think the important thing for people to know is that there is no snake that chases people. So a lot of people have this idea that snakes might chase and attack you. There is no such snake. There's,
really?
There's no snake that turns into a human being or the other way around. Those are myths. They don't exist.
Okay.
And then I think very important, the most important message I have for people, if they encounter any snake or if a child encounters a snake, you back off 5 paces immediately. And if you are 5 paces away, you cannot get bitten. You are perfectly safe.
But doesn't the snake jump if you move?
No,
I mean,
no,
that's is that a myth or something they say? If you see a snake, don't move.
5 paces away from any snake, and anyone is perfectly safe. But now you know what happens next? People now take a stick and they want to go and kill the snake.
Okay.
And of course, the snake is going to defend itself. So if you're trying to kill it, it's going to try and kill you.
Okay. So let me understand this clearly, right? So someone sees a snake, they take 5 steps back.
5 paces back, straight away.
Really?
And you are perfectly safe. You cannot get bitten. It's not possible.
Unbelievable, because, you know, I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because I see that there are so many misconceptions, because they say if you breathe, if you move, the snake will jump and attack you. So
Not at all.
Okay.
Those are all stories.
All right.
You know, I've worked with snakes for 40 years. I've caught 500-600 black mambas in my life.
Wow.
In fact, right now, as we speak, I'm in the field. We're busy doing a survey on snakes. So we're going out tonight to catch snakes to photograph for a new book I'm working on. And all you need to be is 5 paces away, and you cannot get bitten. You're perfectly safe.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do baby snakes have a high volume of venom? Are they more dangerous than adult, mature snakes, if you will? Which one is more dangerous?
Well, there was a program, a television program made recently, where they said that small snakes, baby snakes, are more dangerous because they're dumb and they don't know how to control their venom.
Mm-hmm.
That is not true at all. That is a myth.
Really?
So small snakes, the venom might not be identical to their parents' venom, but it's a very similar venom. But baby snakes have a lot less venom. Obviously, you have a 30 centimeter snake. It can't have near as much venom as a 2 meter snake. So baby snakes are dangerous. If they're from venomous parents, they can kill you, but they have a lot less venom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually not near as serious as an adult snake biting you.
Okay, that's good to know. I'm very pleased you're clear that. So we are going to take a short break, John, and come back and continue the discussion. So we are discussing snake bites today, and so many tips and information. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you the biggest stories of the day. Our global correspondents report the news objectively and comprehensively, keeping you informed about important world events. International Edition provides analysis from the most seasoned experts around the world to put the day's events into context to better understand what's happening and how it may affect you. Listen to International Edition Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 Universal Time on the Voice of America or your local affiliate. You can also listen to the show on demand by visiting the program page at voanews.com or by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. VOA's International Edition, your go-to source for accurate, comprehensive, and objective news.
A tough week? Well, this Sunday, let the sweet sound of African music restore and revive you. Hi, everyone. I'm Heather Maxwell. Inside this weekend's edition of Music Time in Africa, vibe to the grooves of Mozambique and Ghana. I just came back from Maputo and am bringing you music from artists I met like Mingush, Machumezango, Lena Baul, Dilon Jinj, and more. From Ghana, my special guest E.L. joins me in the studio along with Kwame Ofori all hour long.
Hello, people. What's up?
So tune in this Sunday and the following Saturday at 15:05 and 20:05 Universal Time. Music Time in Africa.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight on Health Chat, we are discussing snake bites. Our guest is Johan Mare, founder of the African Snake Bite Institute. So, Mr. Mare, what does the African Snake Bite Institute do? What is the mission of your organization?
Well, we have a whole bunch of initiatives. At this stage, most of our focus is in Southern Africa, but we trying to expand that over the rest of Africa. Part of what we do is we do a lot of awareness programs where we teach people more about snakes. With a lot of lodges and corporates like mines, for instance, we train up some of their staff and how to safely and obviously with the right equipment to remove venomous snakes from the site. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of other educational programs. For instance, we're busy producing a variety of posters of dangerous snakes that we distribute free of charge to hospitals, to schools. And in fact, a lot of these posters can be downloaded from our website, from the African Snake Bite Institute website. So those are the initial initiatives that we have. We've just registered a foundation, and we're hoping to assist in making anti-venom more available in impoverished areas. So for that, we will be getting corporate sponsorship to purchase more anti-venom, and the plan is to distribute anti-venom free wherever we can.
It's interesting you mentioned anti-venom earlier, the shortage of them. How much of a problem is it? Apparently, there is this major shortage globally. Talk to us about how much of a problem this is on the ground.
Yes, I think what we find in Southern Africa, and I mean, South Africa manufactures anti-venom, but a lot of it goes up to places like Kenya. But it's expensive. It costs about $100 per vial, and each treatment requires about 10 vials of anti-venom on average.
Wow. Okay.
So it's not so much the availability or the shortage of anti-venom; it's the very high cost.
Okay.
And if we look at other drugs, if a drug company manufactures a headache tablet, they sell millions and millions, and one person might buy those headache tablets multiple times in 1 year. Anti-venom, if you're unfortunate enough to need it, you're going to need it once in a lifetime. So it's not a massive selling, mass-produced product. And part of the reason, because it's not produced in such large numbers, that's why the cost is so high.
Okay. All right. So then what will it take that more companies start producing? I mean, I guess the first question is, why aren't there more companies that produce anti-venom? Is it not...
It's not viable. Don't make money if you produce it. It's a long process. If you produce a new anti-venom, it has to go to for clinical trials. So once you've developed a good product, it takes 5 years or more of testing before you get approval for this new drug to be commercially available. So it's a very expensive process. And because at this stage we are hyper-immunizing animals like sheep or horses, you actually then, once the animal is immunized, you're extracting blood from that animal, and from the blood you extract the serum. So it's not like a chemical that you can just mass-produce. It's a whole process. So the real answer, and there's a lot of initiatives at the moment, is to discover and develop synthetic antivenoms, develop new antivenoms where you don't have this laborious process where they go through immunizing animals. So a lot of people are working on finding solutions, and we really are hopeful that in the next few years we will find the synthetic antivenoms that we can mass produce and at much cheaper rates.
Okay. So are there ways to prevent snake bites? Let's say somebody is going to the forest, going to the farm. Are there products that they can put or ways to behave that will prevent a snake to bite someone?
Yes, there's a lot of myth about substances that you can use to keep snakes away. Certain plants, certain chemicals. We've tested everything we've heard of. There is absolutely no snake repellent that works. If you're going to waste money on that, you're fooling yourself.
Okay.
So there's no plant, you can't put old oil or manganese or Connie's crystals or whatever down. None of that works.
Okay.
As far as prevention goes, It'll be a very good idea for people working in the field to wear gumboots at night, to walk around with a torch, see where you're standing, because most snake bites happen at night. And make sure that your door to your house seals well and that snakes can't accidentally enter your house at night by coming in through underneath the door.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So are there certain plants or can bring snakes around the house? I remember when I was young, it's probably a myth. There are so much when it comes to myths. There's so many myths around snakes because a lot of time people are scared. So any kind of things we come around it. But there was this tree, a certain tree around our house when I was younger, and they were saying, "Oh, this tree will bring snakes around the house. You guys need to cut it down." So are there trees like that or
no? Absolutely not. But snakes are attracted by food. So if you have an abundance of rodents, if you have an abundance of frogs in your garden, you will attract snakes. If you have trees with lots of birds in, the snakes might come for their chicks or their eggs. But yeah, rodents and frogs are a big problem. So we always recommend that people keep their property nice and clean and make sure you don't have piles of building rubble lying around, places where snakes can hide. So clean up your property and make sure you don't have rodents and frogs around. That will, you know, the moment you have lots and lots of frogs, if you have a pond, for instance, you're going to attract snakes.
But where do they come from? I mean, if you are in the city, your neighborhood is clean. And, okay, let's say someone has a rodent in its backyard, but you have a community that is very clean and everything. Where do the snake come from? Or do they, I mean...
Well, you know, snakes are very secretive, and a number of snakes, like some of the spitting cobras and a lot of the harmless snakes, have adapted well to urbanization. So they can survive in suburbs. They know where to hide. There's always frogs and rodents in suburbs. So some snakes have adapted, you know, and they can travel. So if you're 1 kilometer away from the nearest bush, a large snake can travel 1 kilometer in an evening.
Yeah, okay. There is also this idea that there is a black stone that can extract venom. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Very familiar with it.
Okay.
And they do not work at all. People waste time and money on it. And for us, it's a big problem because people get a serious snake bite, they waste time with black stones, and by the time they're really ill, have a lot of tissue damage or nearly dying, then we only see them in hospitals. The bottom line is that 9 out of 10 snake bites are not serious. So 9 out of 10 snake bites that we see in hospitals, the patients do not need anti-venom.
Okay.
But now the problem is that 9 out of 10 people that are bitten by a snake that use the black stone think that it works. But it doesn't. It doesn't work. They just didn't need anything for that bite. But if you have a serious bite, don't waste time on black stones. Get to a medical center.
Okay. And Johan Mare, on this note, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. What is your web address again?
The web address is easy, African Snake Bite Institute.
Thank you.
People just punch that into Google and they'll find the African Snake Bite Institute immediately.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And that's it for our show today. We thank all of you for listening to Health Chat. For more on today's topic, log on to our website at voanews.com. And let's keep the conversation going on our Facebook page, facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu in Washington, with producer Dan Brown. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.